What's up, everyone? Will Witt here with Will and Amala Live. Sadly, hate to report, Amala is not going to be here today. Had some things, happen. She's not here today. So you have to deal with me and my mustache, okay? But because of this, we have some very special guests on today who we're very excited to have to talk about some things that we don't really get to talk on the podcast too much. So I'm really excited to have them. We have Marissa Streit, the CEO of PragerU, who is a regular guest on the show. Hopefully, this is a better segment than eating Moroccan food. And then we have Alex Marlowe, who is the editor-in-chief of Breitbart News. I have to say, before we just get into some of the stuff, when I was starting out on my political journey and getting into all this stuff, PragerU is what gave me the values and watching their videos when I was first starting out, still in college before I dropped out. And Breitbart News was who I got my news from. They're the best. I've been reading and listening to Breitbart for years and years. The first political shirt I ever got was a Breitbart shirt. Wow. I'm not just trying to do that to brown nose you. I really just, that's where I get my news from.
That's incredible, Will. Thank you so much. And this has been what's been fun. I've been doing a lot more media. I've been more behind the scenes lately, until lately. And since I've been doing more media, I can't tell you how many people come out and told me such a similar story that if it wasn't for Breitbart, it wouldn't be where I am, or they really looked up to Andrew, or they loved Andrew's book, or just something about the Breitbart ecosystem. And it's something I'm so proud of. Every time I hear it, I can't hear this enough. So if anyone sees me on the street and you love Breitbart, just come over and say hi. And it's the same thing for me. I was a Dennis Prager guy. I was walking around the Berkeley campus with the Pragertopia in my ear. I've been giving Dennis like $7 a month since I was about 12. So it's I definitely think I've bought a couple of those stogies that
I'm
going
to have to send the development team after you and get that $7 up to 70 or something.
Yeah. So I'm a PragerU donor, by the way. It's fundraising month, right?
It is fundraising month. Exactly. It was Dennis's birthday. And so it's a great time to donate.
You know, it's some people do the matching where if you donate, then I'll match. We're going to do it reverse today. I will donate $100 and you all match. Everyone watching.
Oh, I thought you were going to come out as the matching donor.
No,
that would be wonderful.
I'm a new media.
You know, this whole episode is about exposing people, right?
Yeah, no,
so, there you go. It was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, but thank you. And Will, might I say, amazing here. I've been admiring it for so long. And
Now, it was so great on the top of my head, I had to put it on the rest of my face, too.
Genius.
So.
But I have to say that something that you're doing, which I admire as well, is that you're putting a mic in people's faces and you're actually talking to them. I just had a conversation with Jesse Waters about the importance of this. This is such an underrated tactic and so simple, and yet no one's any good at it. And you're very good at it. And you just up and just say, hey, what do you think of this? This is the truth. How do you react to that? And just seeing the reactions is not just that it's funny and embarrassing. It's actually a very powerful tool and tactic. And Andrew loved that too. Andrew loved going up and he would go to the Occupy rallies and he would show up in rollerblades with a video camera crew. And he would drive around, he just talked to people and then just poke holes in their logic. And some of the clips are still on YouTube, which people should hunt down. And they're just unbelievable watching him roast people. But in a kind of a polite way, it's almost unmasking people versus
exposing the left versus just necessarily trying to make people look dumb. Listen, there are a lot of people who go out and do man the street stuff and things like that. And they make red meat content that wants to make the left look dumb. That's never been what I've wanted to do. I've wanted to go out and either change people's minds, or at the very least, if you can't change that person's mind, expose what they're being taught and what's going on.
Yeah.
That's the best way to actually change people's minds.
Well, that's what your book is about. How
that's
you
my
change
book, yeah.
minds
yeah.
through wow. asking questions.
Thank you, Marissa.
Yeah,
How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies is my book. You guys can pre-order now.
Nice.
On yeah.
Good title. It reminds me of a familiar title. That
yeah. I've heard a little years. Familiar.
You know, close. It's interesting because my radio show, which I'm sure you in particular probably never listen to. Maybe, because it's 3 to 6 a.m. out here on the West Coast.
I'm always Sirius up at XM. That time.
Yeah, always. It's a lot of guys in mid-20s are up at 3 a.m.
yeah.
But I almost never debate. And I think it makes me a really good debater because all I do when people call in who are on the left and are not trolls, if they're trolls, then I try to ditch them quickly. But if they're genuinely trying to convince me of something, I will just poke holes in their argument. I will just ask questions. And that is typically all it takes because you only have two, maybe three questions at the most to get your typical left-wing person to be able to until their arguments just start falling apart. It is the number one tactic, and I think it's the easiest tactic. I think it's a lot easier than doing some sort of 20-minute soliloquy on the Federalist Papers. That's really hard to do. It's much easier to just say, well, why do you believe X? Because it contorts with Y. If you're so concerned about the coronavirus, why do you want the open border?
Right.
And just try to get them to answer that. There's not one person in America who can answer that question. So let's just ask them, and then you'll get hilarious results.
Typically. Yeah. It gets easy for people if they can control their emotions. That's the most important thing. If the interviewer can't control themselves and they get angry at the person who they're talking to, then you've lost as well, because you're not going to change anyone's mind like that. It's incredibly important. And so, but one thing, I mean, talking about Breitbart, talking about PragerU, we like the truth. Both of our organizations, we love the truth. And there is an organization out there that we don't think obviously likes the truth so much, and that is NewsGuard, where we have had, I guess you could say, a scuffle with them over email chains. And so for a lot of people watching, you probably don't know what NewsGuard is. Marissa, do you want to tell people just a short introduction to what NewsGuard is and why this is happening?
Sure. So I'd actually like to just explain how I got exposed to NewsGuard, because I knew nothing about NewsGuard. And really, maybe I was a little naive, but my first introduction to them, I just thought it was some giant mistake, the same giant mistake that we experienced with YouTube when they started censoring us. And so what has happened to us over the last few months is JW Player, which hosted the PragerU website, told us that they're not renewing the contract with us and essentially kicked us off their platform. And so we rushed and switched to another platform, but we also wanted to investigate, well, why are they kicking us off? What are we doing that is so bad? And so as we've communicated with JW Player, they told us that there is an organization called NewsGuard that essentially provides this green shield or red shield to different news organizations. Now, PragerU is not even a news organization. We share information. We share truth. But apparently, NewsGuard is now the new guardian of the internet. They're a self-appointed group, mostly composed of political elites and people with deep pockets and deep connections. And so they decided to self-appoint themselves as this organization that gets to say who speaks the truth and who speaks lies. And so they take these little reports that they make about different websites, predominantly focusing on people who they don't agree with, and then they go to the big tech companies and say, hey guys, you guys in big tech, you don't want to service these horrible liars that are propagating terrible information. You would never want to do that. Well, allow us to investigate whether these websites are clean or dirty. And once we provide you with a report, the ones that are bad, the ones that are in the red, you should kick off immediately. Otherwise, you guys are just as bad as they are. And you know, there's a chance that maybe some of these big tech companies are actually hiding behind NewsGuard to use them as a third-party fact checker to remove ideas that they don't like, or simply they're pressured by NewsGuard to kick people off because there's information that the political elite clearly doesn't want out there. But somehow this group of self-appointed folks has been the backbone of censorship and predominantly tech censorship. And so what has happened to us is we get kicked off. I send an email to NewsGuard saying this must be a giant mistake. It can't possibly be that you would think that PragerU is some, you know, hate speech, you know, negative, horrible things that are published by, you know, terrible people. I mean, look at us. We're, you know, totally all about values. You may not agree with what we have to say, but certainly we don't mean to hurt anyone, and we are not hurting anyone. And so I had this conversation with Eric Efron, who is one of the leaders, along with Stephen Brill of NewsGuard. And, you know, he pretty much knew very little about PragerU, which is interesting that he, you know, they censor us, yet they know very little about us.
I'm bringing up the email on here so you guys can see it. If you want to see the full email exchange, you can go to PragerU.com/NewsGuard, which just went live about 10 minutes ago, where you can see the full exchange. We're just going to kind of go through this a little bit right now so you can see.
So, you know, the conversation was like, oh, it must be a giant mistake. Yeah, it must be a giant mistake. Yeah, we're completely unbiased. Of course, we want you to do better. Oh, we just want good information for the public. We're totally, you know, all about freedom of speech and freedom of information and freedom of press. And we're just here to protect the civilians from misinformation. Okay, so he sends me an email with a few questions. Turns out I've spoken to a few other news outlets, specifically outlets that, you know, Eric Efron and the folks on and NewsGuard don't agree with. And we've all been through this thing, same thing, thinking first it's a giant mistake, you know, let's go through the different rules of what they're asking for. And so they sent us a bunch of questions. We've answered all the questions. 4 weeks later, we get the same basically questions again. And so they meander and take more time and more time. And we continue to get it's not that they are we're censored by them, but they're calling on other tech companies and probably financial companies to come and censor us. So it's this crazy oligarchy, a group of self-appointed oligarchs who get to decide what is true and what is false. And we've had multiple situations where we're afraid to publish information that we knew we would get a slap on the wrist because, you know, if NewsGuard doesn't like it, they're going to call all the big tech firms and kick us out. And so that is that's been our experience with NewsGuard. I actually called up Alex when, you know, apparently I'm the junior in this situation because the Daily Wire, the Blaze, and Breitbart have been through this for such a long time. And here they're really, as I say, they're closing in on us. And so they started probably with Breitbart and Daily Wire and got away with it because, you know, there's no consequence to their bad behavior. And so the oligarchs and their power, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I called Alex and I said, has this happened to you? And basically he's like, you know, welcome to the club.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been initiated. No, you've got it. And we've written dozens and dozens of articles about NewsGuard at Breitbart.com. And I have a section on it in my book, which I think there's a one over my, no, wrong shoulder. That one over there, Breaking the News, just came out, which was, did pretty well, thanks to, I'm sure, some people in the audience. And I have a section on it. And it really is part of a cancellation industry. It is now a business to be involved with canceling people. And you noted something there in that pretty solid summary of what they're doing. They don't want us to improve. They don't want us to be more fair. They don't want us to be more accurate. They don't want us to be more responsive to media inquiries. They're trying to send a signal to the planet that we're unsafe, that we are dangerous, and that if you want your corporate brand to advertise on PragerU or to have your ad show up on your YouTube page or to have them be part of whatever ad network that funds whichever player, JW player, whatever player you're using, that's not safe for your brand, which means that we're deprived of resources, which means either hopefully we go out of business, but we're both big enough, we're not going to go out of business, but we might not grow as fast. So they see it as a win-win, and they are systematically targeting independent conservative outlets. That's the outlet they're doing it. And they do have the backing by the establishment. And I went through in the book and I looked through who are the board members, and they're alumni of the Bush, Obama, and Clinton White Houses. That's typically who they are. People who work for establishment outlets, Newsweek, I'm sorry, Time Magazine, NBC News, PBS. And they're funded by key groups. In particular, there's a group called the Knight Foundation, which is the Poynter Institute, which is another one that's the Knight Foundation. I'm looking at let's start with Microsoft. We'll start with Microsoft, which is the big backer. That's their big corporate partner for NewsGuard. And the reason why NewsGuard worked is because it initially got this boost from Microsoft. Microsoft put it on their Edge browser. Google was complicit. Google put it on their Chrome browser as an option. So you can get NewsGuard on your Google Chrome browser. But automatically, if you use the Microsoft Edge browser, you are getting these NewsGuard alerts where you get these shields on your page, either green for good, red for bad. It's all binary. There's no in between. That's all it is. And Microsoft threw its support behind it, which meant that people like me and you probably had to comply to some degree, because Microsoft, a $1 trillion business, was going to brand us all as a fake news. And that was the goal, to stifle us from being able to gain resources. And because it had that corporate backing from the start, it gave it this air of legitimacy. And we all played along to a certain degree, because it would have been sort of stupid not to. And then now we're where we are, where it's almost bifurcated: establishment and left-wing news green, right-wing conservative news red. And it's all designed specifically to make sure we don't get money.
This reminds me a lot of the SPLC. You remember the SPLC? They had their hate watch list, and they put all the conservative organizations on there, and it helped, or not the opposite of helped, that we weren't able to get resources because of these same things. It eerily reminds me of the same thing. It's like, why is the left allowed to control all of these different lists and institutions and things that they can get to control who gets to see our content, or that it's safe or trustworthy?
Yeah.
Why is it that the left gets to do this and that conservatives don't have anything like this out there?
Well, it's because of those corporate partnerships. And that's why I mentioned errantly the Knight Foundation. The Knight Foundation and George Soros' Open Society Foundation combined on the International Fact-Checking Network, which was going to work with Facebook and ultimately Google. That was the plan. And the Knight Foundation, which still exists, even though I don't know if this particular fact-checking group is still out there, one of the top guys on is Marty Baron from the Washington Post. It's all the establishment protecting themselves in conjunction with Google, with Facebook, with Microsoft. And the design is to keep people who might actually seriously investigate or report on what they're doing, or in the case of you guys, giving factual information about who's really pulling the levers of power in our country, if you're going to give that information on their platforms, they don't want it. So they're trying to push you off of their platforms. They're trying to discourage you to post even truthful things on those platforms. And they're doing a somewhat effective job, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I would submit that it's not really an issue of left versus right. I mean, I think most of the public would want access to the information so they can make their own decisions. But there's so much hubris over there in this political elite where they believe that people are just plain stupid and dumb. Yes. They shouldn't have access to information because they can't make their own decisions. And therefore, they need to protect the public from information that they should not know. And so you see a lot of the corporate interests and you just see political interests there. And I mean, what's mind-boggling to me, A, is that they're self-appointed, right? They decided that they get to be the arbiters
themselves.
Of truth.
Exactly.
B, if they don't agree with 0.0005% of your content, they will still put you in the red. And so it's not that they're open to even if there's a fraction of it that they don't agree with, no, you're going to get penalized.
Yeah.
To me, that is so incredibly dangerous. And the biggest part of it about it is there's no consequence to what they're doing. And so they hurt our business in a massive way. I mean, it costs us so much money to transfer onto a new platform, and there's no consequence to their mistakes, or they can make things up about us. No consequence, nothing happens to them. No problem.
So then what gets done about that? If there are no consequences for these people, I mean, how do we fix something like this where you have a NewsGuard or the SPLC or any of these other organizations or big groups who are making these lists and making it so that conservatives and more right-wing news and sources are getting blacklisted? How do we change that?
It's not just right-wing news. It's information. I mean, information they don't want out there will not get out there because NewsGuard decides that it should not be out there. Yeah, that's how dangerous this is.
The vast majority of it is coming from right of center outlets at this point, but I absolutely agree with your point that it is not a left-right thing. It's really establishment versus an anti-establishment thing, which was one of the real revelations that I got through my year of research I spent in the book, is that we are living in an oligopoly, in an oligarchy. It's already here. It's the bureaucratic elite in Washington, the swamp, as Trump would call it, and the tech elite in Silicon Valley, and the media elite in New York. I mean, and that's what's running, to a lesser degree, Hollywood. We've kind of neutralized Hollywood, but Hollywood was certainly the leader. The Hollywood gave us Obama. I mean, David Geffen and Jeffrey Katzenberg essentially plucked Obama out of somewhat obscurity and said, "You're the guy. You're the president, not Hillary." So it's these elite classes that are ruining the country. That's Freudian slip there. They're the ones who are running the country, and they're not really looking at the politics as much as, are you a threat to their corporate business interests? Are you a threat to their power structure, which they've worked on for a very long time? And if you are, they're going to use whatever means necessary to try to silence you, even if they're silencing true information. They don't care about truth. They don't care about facts. They don't care about accuracy. One example, and going through NewsGuard's board is just, it is amazing. But one example, and I'll only cite the one for now, and people can go hunt down the rest on their own. But Michael Hayden is a guy who is a retired general. I have no clue what his connection is to the news, but he was one of the biggest Russia hoaxers. He's specifically hyping the PP dossier, which everyone in Washington knew was false. And it was peddled around Washington. Everyone knew it was absurd, ridiculous, and propaganda, essentially. And he hyped it. He also compared Donald Trump's administration's border policies to the Holocaust. This is not a guy who cares about news and accuracy. And yet he's on the NewsGuard, self-appointed, as you point out, who determined this guy should be in charge of the news. So step number one, Will, to your question, we just have to reject the premise. And everyone needs to understand that if you are being handed something to you and you've no choice in the matter, it's just showing up on your browser, don't accept their premise that this is a legitimate thing. This is a key lesson of Andrew Breitbart. This is one of the things that he used to cut through the establishment left-wing bubble in the media, was he rarely accepted their premises. If you saw him get interviewed, he would not assume that the questions that were being asked of him by guys like Martin Bashir on MSNBC, he wouldn't assume they're asking in good faith. He would assume they're asking with an agenda to destroy him. And him seeing it that clearly, I think we all kind of get that intuitively now, but it is important we verbalize it and people understand that these tools are not about accuracy. And I'll tell you why. Because when we went through our process with NewsGuard, we got green the first go round. And I know our journalism improved And then they turned us to red right before the election, September 2020. They decided, lo and behold, Breitbart's red all of a sudden. And I went back and forth for weeks with this guy, Eric Efron, and others in particular, and I demonstrated all of the things we were doing better than the last time they made us green. Didn't make a difference. They wanted to take away, I mean, how do you make a baby cry? You can give him a popsicle and then you take it back from him. I mean, that's how the baby, if you don't give him the, you don't introduce the popsicle, then the baby's not going to cry. That's the premise, is they might give you the green just so you play their game. And then when you take away the green, oh, look, Breitbart's red now. Now they're bad. They're super bad. You better not advertise with them. That's a news story. Let's feed that to those clowns who run the media department over at CNN. Maybe they'll write it up. And that's the game that they play. And then you get this bad juju around you that makes even conservative businesses think, well, maybe I won't advertise. Maybe I won't cut that check. Who knows if someone leaks out that I'm a big PragerU donor? That could be bad news for me. It's a, because PragerU is so dangerous with all their videos about how great the Constitution is and how bad Che Guevara is. I mean, that's really edgy. That's really horrible stuff. And this is a game that sadly, too many passive people who are conservative Judeo-Christian types are not playing. We need to play. We need to play back, and we need to make life very difficult for the people who are in this cancellation censorship business.
When you say make it difficult for them, what exactly do you mean by that? Because I think a lot of people who watch this show, there are also a lot of younger people watch this show, and they're wondering like how they can make this difference. When you see the Washington Post being, I mean, the establishment versus anti-establishment is, it's exactly what it is. You have Washington Post now putting out articles because Jeff Bezos owns it that says don't tax the rich anymore. It's amazing, right?
And they sure loved his rocket launch.
Right, exactly. No, they loved it. They loved it. And then you got Vox with a BlackRock guy, and they're talking about, oh, buying up all the homes is actually a good thing. Yeah. So when you see these huge media companies, the universities, Hollywood, and the swamp in Washington, and you have normal people watching this saying, what am I supposed to do about this? Why is it a big deal, and what are they supposed to do to actually fight back against this, you think?
Yeah, first of all, you can start with our favorite tactic of just, if you're in a debate with someone, just ask them questions. Like, well, why do you think it is that the NewsGuard board is Microsoft is only establishment media, no independent media? Why isn't there one person from independent media represented on this thing? Ask them what they think of. Well, do you think that Trump's border policies were really like the Holocaust? You know, that's pretty absurd. That's what the NewsGuard's board member thinks. Do you think it's appropriate that people at NBC and the Washington Post are deciding whether or not their competitors get a red check or a green check? And you can almost, I like that method when you're debating with people in your personal life, to ask them these clear holes in the arguments around the premise. Who are these people that determined that they are in charge? Do you really trust big corporations like Microsoft to tell you what's true? So I love that tactic on a micro level. On a little broader level, I like, first of all, you cannot support businesses that you don't believe in ideologically.
100% agree.
But it's not enough simply just to boycott individually. You need to be vocal about it. You need to be more vocal. And I think you need to, more importantly, even call these businesses and tell them you're disappointed and tell them that you were a consumer. You like this product. Nike shoes fit my feet better than any shoes. And I couldn't always afford Nike growing up. I can afford Nike now, and I can't buy it. I can't buy it in good conscience. In fact, Nike was the only one where I took all the Nike during the Kaepernick stuff out of my closet and threw it out. And I didn't do that. That is a next level. That's like I was taking stuff that I had earned and was excited to have and threw it out because I objected to their business. But I also want to vocalize it. I want to call them. I want to tell them, you know what? I'm really disappointed that you're doing this. I've got one of those Peloton bikes, and they're constantly putting out just some woke messages about how they're about equity and inclusion. You're a $2,000 stationary bike. You are not about equity or inclusion. This is a super elite product. Just admit it. Just own up to it. You're a bunch of frauds. And so call them and just say that, hey, just stop it. Just say, I want to ride the bicycle to my EDM music. Like, that's what I want to do. I don't get my values for my bicycle. But until we have this reset, it's gonna be a dark road. But you see, it's funny. We're laughing because it's hilarious.
Is hilarious.
How it's so absurd to get our values from Peloton and Colin Kaepernick and Nike. That's ridiculous. The premise is so ridiculous on its face that I think we can win some converts just by sharing that.
Isn't it so funny that, like, you look back in the 1970s and the 1980s where you had liberals and they were the ones who were chanting about anti-establishment and down with Wall Street, down with the huge corporations. Yes. And now look, the most prominent, or at least the conservative voices, or, you know, truth voices that I follow, are the most anti-establishment people on the right now. It's like the right is now the, in a lot of ways, this anti-establishment people, and the left are like Jeff Bezos and Tim Cook at Apple and these big tech billionaires and media companies. How has it gone so backwards now that the right are the anti-establishment people and the left are the ones totally hand in hand with them?
It's an amazing thing that happened, and it's a long process, and I've got a lot of theories on it. But the most important thing is just to think about that is true. That, first of all, what you said. And I've been in new media now for almost 15 years, and I just came off of doing the deepest research I've ever done into the way the corporate structures are designed in this country. And they are decidedly propping up. It's mostly left, but it's really the establishment power structure.
Right.
Donald Trump did not do, in my opinion, enough against big tech, but he was a threat to big tech. Think Joe Biden's a threat to big tech?
No.
You think Joe Biden is? Do you think they're sitting there? They were high-fiving. They were bruising their hands high-fiving so much when Joe Biden wins. And this goes beyond like Eric Schmidt, which I mentioned in the book also, who was Google's the guru at Google, who was literally handpicking people for the Pentagon. And his people were one of the few people who actually responded when I reached out for comment on stuff. And they didn't deny anything that I wrote about. They literally picking people. They're not even hiding it. That he is a Google executive picking people in our defense contracts to get our top defense contracts. This is a reality that we're in, even if we don't want to be in it. And this is the first thing, is to get people to wisen up to this. Can I give you one quick NewsGuard fact that is amazing?
That. Okay. Yes, please.
So Breitbart, we have forever, since before I worked there, which was almost a time that some people listening probably were not alive at that time. And you're watching on, see, I don't even know, we're on television, right?
Sort of yeah. Streaming. Yeah, this goes right after Brian Stelter on CNN. Yeah.
That's right. That's good. Well, sometimes I do the two screen.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I do the two screen experience. I'll get Stelter on my phone, and I'll get Will Witt on the streaming app.
Yeah, exactly. No,
that's how you do it.
Listen to two times a month.
Get both. When we've been syndicating the newswires, so Associated Press, Johns Franz Press, Reuters, things like that, where which are ostensibly supposed to be just information, constant flow of information throughout the world. And it's very useful because our staff is a fraction of the size of any of these staffs. And so you're supposed to be getting basic information. So you can get an AP story identical to Breitbart as you would get at U.S. News and World Report or the New York Times or any other place that would otherwise syndicate the AP. If you go to the U.S. News and World Report or Yahoo News and you read an AP article, NewsGuard is going to give that one a green check. What happens if you read the exact same article at Breitbart?
Red. It's false.
Red.
You get a red. It's the same article. The same. That's how much they hate Breitbart. Do you know that at the Breitbart.com store gets a red check on NewsGuard? The store. Merch. Our merch is fake news.
Outrageous.
Your merch is fake news? Like, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Who are these people? Show your faces. Come here and debate me and tell me why you think this is an appropriate thing.
We should ask to get someone from NewsGuard onto the show.
They might do it.
See, yeah,
they might do it. I mean, if it's anything like the conversation I had with them, they just, you know, pretend to be unbiased.
Yeah, I mean, we should ask them through email, try and get someone on to talk with them, see if they would actually explain this to us.
Yeah, but truly the left or liberals, but mostly the left, are the political elites, and conservatives are the American rebels, right? We're like the ones who are trying to fight for freedom.
Totally changed.
Completely.
Andrew Breitbart's vision of the conservatives being the rebels, being the counterculture figures, being the punk rockers is here. Totally, it's here. And that's super cool and exciting, and hopefully it'll only get bigger. But the problem is that the corporations move very quickly, and they have a lot of money, they have a lot of resources. And they try to buy off the independent media, and they do buy them off. And they're not going to be people with our worldview for the most part, though occasionally they are, which is disturbing. But for the most part, it is people without our worldview, but they will neutralize a lot of the more skeptical, rugged, individualistic people who are in the media and even in the entertainment world. You try to get them on doing the corporations work for them. I was thinking about your question, Will, about how this got this way, and it's been a long road. And I was on the Berkeley campus during the Iraq War, so I was told constantly, you know, Exxon, Halliburton, these were the devils, like the biggest corporations. These were the people who were doing the work of Satan himself within the United States. And now it's all the corporations are cool and we identify with them. What's your favorite corporation? Mine's Instagram. What's
I got my Google shirt on and my Apple and all
My corporation's Lululemon. I love Lululemon. Yep. I mean, that's my corporation. It's a, and we all identify with these corporations, which is just so not American in my viewpoint. Anyway, but I think there was a moment where it tipped into the way to have a huge business is not to be capitalistic in the purest sense of the world of the word, and not to make money the honest way by just being an entrepreneur and a captain of industry. When it was to get the best government contracts and to get the support from the government, and you see the charade hearings that take place with big tech on Capitol Hill, where even the Republicans ask great questions, but then nothing happens. Whatever happens to these things, it's the whatever happens to Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, they're just their stock just goes up after. No,
it's just a show.
It's a show, exactly. And you know what I said about Google doing all these contracts with the. It's not just Google; it's others. It's Amazon.
Google's the biggest lobbying organization in America.
It's one of them, and it's growing. And big tech, if it's not, I think the Chamber of Commerce might still be bigger, but it's up there.
Yeah.
And it will be number one if you take big tech collectively. Mark Zuckerberg has several floors in adjoining buildings in the middle of Washington. Why is Jeff Bezos building a huge campus in Arlington, Virginia? Why is Jeff Bezos own the Washington Post? Because he wanted to give raises to the people on the copy desk, because he really just like thinks those copy editors are really underpaid.
Right.
They don't miss a single typo. No, it's because he wants influence and he wants to be able to neutralize other people who could otherwise pose a threat to him. The problem is that all of these biggest companies, from Google to Amazon to Elon Musk, a perfect example of this with Tesla and SpaceX, it's the government contracts that get you to the next level. And so naturally, if people feel like the entrepreneurial spirit was all about competition and being the best and just pure capitalism, that's gone. We are now in the elite to have the best deals. They have the best contracts with the government, which is very disturbing. But I think that officially makes it that big corporations are part of the big government apparatus.
It's totally true. I mean, look at you can even look at Chicago as an example that, you know, back in 50 years ago, you had a thriving middle class in somewhere like Chicago. And now you have the poor have gotten more poor. The middle class has shrunk. But the rich, there are way more rich people in Chicago now. Like the elites and the rich are totally dividing themselves from the poor. And the thing about it that I was tweeting about the other day is that you have these elites who come on and tell you all these things that are going to be really good for you. You got to do this for climate change. You got to do this for racism. Then when they're away from you, when they're away from their TV, they have their own private hotels. They have their own private dining, their own private jets, their private ski resorts. All of these things that are totally separated from you. They have someone to go to the grocery store. Yeah, you have to wear a mask and be vaccinated to go to the grocery store. They have someone to go for them. It's like all of these things that they apply and say that you have to do, they don't even do. They don't have to abide by because they're a totally different level.
Yes.
And that's a really scary thing that we're getting to in America.
So here's
this.
What you need to do. Let's connect a few things. So we should get a program going. And we know you guys have a great donor base. We got to get people donating the Pelotons to the homeless encampments here in L.A.
Yes.
And we got to get that to equity and inclusion.
I heard BLM raised quite a bit of money. Maybe they want to donate those.
Exactly. Yeah. And so BLM is in there setting up the Peloton classes at the homeless encampments. And let's see, that is equity and inclusion in the purest sense of the word. Yeah. And it's the corporations pitching in. It's so good. They could give out free merch. It'd be like advertising. Water bottles.
I'd imagine that many of the people listening are going to ask, well, why do we even care? We're spending all this time talking about NewsGuard. Who even cares? Why do we even care what the score we get? Like, let's all be in the red. If we're conservative, we'll just be on the red. If they don't like us, we'll have a red shield. Who cares? I mean, I had moments where I almost used pretty bad language, even as a mom, where I was like, who the hell cares about these people? Why am I even going back and forth with them trying to get a better score? Why did you do that? Why did Jeremy Boring go back and forth with them from the Daily Wire? Why did, you know, The Blaze? Why do we even care about their scoring?
Before I answer that, are you like me where you have the different language after 9 p.m. than before 9 p.m.? There's like I get to flip a toggle switch.
My worst language is here because when I'm with my kids, I'm very careful.
Right. So from 2:30 to 3:30 when the podcast is, that's my best language.
Yeah.
That's
but I try really hard to be careful with my language.
I've got the young kids, so it's very hard not to drop an F word if there's a if there's a perfect alliteration. Like if you can add another word that begins with F right next to it. It's almost irresistible. Mm-hmm.
That NewsGuard makes it completely irresistible.
Yeah,
irresistible, to use proper language, because it's so upsetting. But why are we getting even upset about it? Why do we even care?
Sure. So short term, here is why. Because NewsGuard is part of a hoax. And part of what you and I do, and what Will does, of course, and what all of us at PragerU and at Breitbart do, is try to tell the truth and try to say this is actually what's going on in society. And for you guys, it's also what's going on, what went on in the past, which is now being rewritten, which you guys are doing a yeoman's job trying to make sure it doesn't. But this is something from NewsGuard. It's literally on its website, where they write, by licensing the NewsGuard ratings, advertisers limit their advertising, including programmatic advertising, to sites that meet the NewsGuard criteria. Advertisers use this data and related information about sites to craft efficient and safe ad campaigns. They're doing it specifically, this is a hoax, to take money from you and me. So that is something that is dead serious when Microsoft's behind it. So they are calling us out. This is an ultimate throwdown, and it's a throwdown with a lot at stake. Microsoft, a trillion-dollar company, is trying to, you know, slow down people that have budgets in the single or double-digit millions a year, a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what the budgets are in conservative new media. This is where a trillion-dollar company is trying to quash us because we were a threat to them. And that, to me, is fighting words. And that's the first reason why we should care. The second reason why we should care is the broader war on truth. But I do think that your point that maybe we don't get too wound up about it, too riled up about it, is also legit. But it only is legit if more people start accepting the premise that I laid out earlier, which is don't accept the left's premise. I don't think enough people are convinced. Maybe the hardcore people who are going to PragerU every Monday or going to Breitbart, maybe those people are with us and they see the matrix, as Andrew would say, and they see that this is all some sort of a big political game. I don't think enough people see that. Clearly, Joe Biden allegedly got 85 million votes. So there's a lot of people in America who don't get this, that this is happening.
Right.
And we're being commanded and controlled by already rich, powerful elites. And that's not okay for this country. And the country's not going to survive it. And it can only go one way or the other. They will either take more territory or we will take territory back.
Right. Well, they're successful at making sure that people don't see it. So that's exactly what NewsGuard is tasked to do. But I'd also add that they're closing in on us. And so it's kind of like this, like, terrible monster that is growing and growing. And the more they get away with, the more they do. And so they start by censoring, you know, news outlets like, you know, Breitbart, Daily Wire, yeah, Blaze, and all that, and they get away with it. And so now they're coming after educational entities, yeah, like ours. Well, they don't like the type of education that we're sharing with the public. And so now they're, you know, advocating to censor us. And who knows? I mean, they're going to start applying pressure on financial institutions, donors, like
they
you mentioned.
Already are.
Asked me to publish every single one of our donors on,
yes,
our website. We,
yes,
have close to 300,000 donors.
Ridiculous.
I'm not going to be posting that.
Of course.
The,
wow,
things they ask us,
that's
to
impressive,
do, I mean, what's mind-boggling also is that the things they ask us to do are literally impossible. And so when you're asking somebody to do something that you can't legally do it, and it's impossible to do it, it's not required by the IRS to submit all of your donors, but they're arbitrarily coming up with rules that are impossible to create. They know that our donors will never be happy with us posting all of their names. And so that's what they're asking for. Another thing they kept asking about was for us to...
Well, why do they really want those names? Why do they want those names?
Because they
want
to go cancel them. They
want
to go after them.
Those people harassed. Because remember, yes, if they neutralize one right-wing billionaire, then that means how many candidates, how many new businesses run by right-wing people, how many charitable organizations, 501c3s and 4s, lose money because that person's been canceled. That's who they really want. Those are the whales for them. You cancel a few of those, and that slows down the whole movement. The same way, like at a Breitbart, even though, as I said, we're big enough where we can handle boycotts, and we've been through them, but maybe we don't grow quite as fast. Maybe we don't expand quite as quickly. And maybe we're not as appealing to whatever, launch a new thing. And that stuff does have an impact. It's not going to be enough to kill us, but it does have an impact the same way if we do the same thing in the New York Times. A bunch of people who would never dream of doing anything nice for the New York Times because of what conservative media has done to portray them accurately as frauds. But this is the same thing that is going on, but at a much larger scale with much more funding that is going on. And so if that means that we can't grow a little bit more because These jerks with too much power and too big egos want to make our lives difficult. That's a problem. We need to talk about it.
It is a problem. I also, maybe I'm naive. You called me naive before, so you know,
I did.
Maybe, oh, somebody did.
I don't think so.
But I'll just say
I would never.
I don't think I would.
It's possible that folks that are using NewsGuard don't know what NewsGuard really is. And it's possible that folks that are working for companies, and this is really the point of this whole program, is that there, it's possible that there are people who are working for companies that are using NewsGuard don't realize what NewsGuard is doing. And so we do need to call out Americans and people in general who are working for companies that is using NewsGuard to censor information, to go and speak to their CEOs and send letters and say, hey, we should not be using NewsGuard anymore.
And they're hammering with this word safety. This is the, if you have an option and you're someone who is not a consumer of conservative new media at all, like meaning you never go to Breitbart, in a given month, you'll never go to one Breitbart article, you'll never click on one PragerU video. You might be the decision maker for a very, for a brand to put advertising on our products. Maybe it's a product where the average Breitbart reader or the average PragerU viewer would be a perfect match for your product. But if NewsGuard said these are not safe brands for your brand, then that means you might not get that. And they might not do the research. They might not dig in and start going through all your videos saying, wait a minute, these guys just really like the Bible and the Constitution. What's so wrong with these guys? And look at these guys. They're just writing up all these stories on all the, you know, rioting in Chicago and what's actually happening at our border. This doesn't seem that bad. It seems like helpful even. But they're not going to always do that research. They're going to say, NewsGuard said red, I'm out. Oh, here's Vox.com. That's a green. Let's go.
Well,
there
might be a lower level employee who's just in charge of buying, you know, ad buying, right? And who will say, well,
and who do you think are the advertising industry executives? They're under incredible corporate pressure as well from the woke millennials who are rising within the various corporations. And they're for to have a good corporate culture where they want the corporations not to do well for their bottom line as much as do well to make it so that they're inclusive and they're perceived as inclusive to the woke millennials who clearly don't read enough Breitbart or watch enough PragerU. And that's they're afraid of those people because a lot of our readers and viewers are going to be more silent. Some will be vocal and hopefully a few more after watching this, but some will be a little more open. A lot of people will kind of sit in the sideline and wait until midterms and they'll vote and you know, we'll all vote similar or something, and but that's not enough anymore. The war is too vast right now.
Everybody has to find a way to help.
You have to find a way to help.
The culture just has gotten so centralized. It's New York, D.C., yes. L.A., and San Francisco. That's where the culture is. And instead of like, you know, maybe here in Los Angeles, so let's use a different example, like a different city like Cheyenne or something.
Yeah.
Like people used to read like a Cheyenne local newspaper.
Sure.
They would get their news from there, their local values. They would go to church and talk to their community. Now you open up your phone, you got Apple News, CNN, NewsGuard telling you what to think.
Yes.
And your culture, your values are being artificially created by some blue-haired UC Berkeley grad in San Francisco. So all of the things that you hold dear are being taken away and manufactured someone else. I mean, ad companies used to tailor ads across the country for different places. Like a truck would be in the Midwest and maybe like a SUV in a city or something like that. They would tailor their ads for different people. Now all they want to do is make big leftist or woke ads. Everything has totally changed from even I'm 24. And even the way that I grew up, I even remember being a kid and knowing the type of things that I would see on the internet and on TV and in advertising. It is all changed, even in this short amount of time.
You're totally right. And one of the things I was thinking, and one of the biggest moments that proves my point, or at least is evidence my point, about the oligopoly and how the corporations are continuing to adjust their tactics to improve for their own benefit. One of the biggest moments in media was when Apple cut a deal with Google to make the Google browser the default browser on your phones. So then you're pulling up your web browser on Apple and all of a sudden you're getting more Google. And that means you're getting Google's filtration. So if you Google Joe Biden on a news story, you're not going to get a Breitbart article. As of May of last year, again, there's a chart in the book, Breaking the News, which is right over there. That demonstrates this. May of last year, they took Breitbart's traffic on Joe Biden and brought it to zero, literally zero. You cannot get a Joe Biden story. And I have some videos up on my social media pages demonstrating this, unless you type in the word Breitbart. Breitbart is one of the five, typically one of the five biggest pure news outlets in the United States. And in the 2016 election, we were top one, two, or three in terms of all of social media, in terms of engagement. And Google knew this. And so right before the election, they diminished our reach on Joe Biden's stories. It didn't matter if they're true or not. But you're not going to get Joe Biden from Google, which means you're not going to get Joe Biden, the truth about Joe Biden from Breitbart, through Google, which means you're not getting it through Apple, right? Because Apple and Google cut the deal. What are you getting on Apple News? I'm constantly peppered with CNN updates. I have no clue how to turn them off. I don't want them.
You can't.
Not,
I don't think
I
you
never
can
click
turn
on them.
I'm
not smart enough to turn it off.
Swipe left on your home screen, and then it says like everyone in the world is about to die from COVID, and you're like, yes. What is going on?
It's
scary for people.
It's so fitting that they call themselves NewsGuard, because these folks are truly guarding the news that cannot get out there. Right? Yeah. Nobody can actually hear things that they're not allowed to hear. That's what NewsGuard is actually doing.
And it's a business. It's a business to protect the elite, and they're doing the bidding of the elite, and the elite will keep funding them so long as they keep choosing the right winners and losers. It's a total mafioso mentality. I mean, they should be investigated with the RICO statutes. This is what it's all about. There is a cabal that is running so much of our media, and they're trying to get stronger, which is why being vocal and, as you say, getting involved however you can. Maybe it's your school board. Maybe it's just being a little more vocal at whatever is your book club or Bible study. Mm-hmm. It has to start with that, because we need everyone. I'm going straight to the camera on this one. We need everyone.
I'm joining you. Well, we have a petition that people can sign. Sign the petition at PragerU.com.
Taylor, can you drop that in the comments?
Bring it in the comments. And
Taylor's here, everyone. He's
Show us that you support freedom of speech. And again, you don't have to agree with everything we have to say. You don't have to agree with everything on Breitbart, but surely you want to have access to it. Do you really want Stephen Brill and Eric Efron to decide for you what you get to hear?
Well, why is BuzzFeed, that literally has stories about where they force their staff to drink urine and originated the PP dossier, the first to report on it, why are they green and Breitbart's red? And PragerU is presumably red, and almost everyone else on the right is red. Why is that?
Because BuzzFeed tells you that straight white men are horrible and that gasoline is killing the planet, and they do everything right. They say all the right things. If you don't say the right things, then you don't get...
Are there any groups on the left that are actually, from your investigation, that are actually in the red?
It's probably...
Tiny little fringe ones that nobody heard about?
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. I'm guessing not.
Has the New York Times ever made it into the red? Half of what they publish is fake news. So many people are resigning from their...
And the New York Times, of course, listens to enough... If enough Twitter mob speaks up online... by the way, the New York Times still stands by 1619. Which has been completely debunked. The key claims of it have been completely retracted, but they don't say it's retracted.
They're not in the red. They're in the green.
It's like when your signature piece of journalism is fake news of the last 10 years, and you're green automatically, and Breitbart, I got to kick and scream and still get red. There might be, because they update them like every 6 months, and there's always a chance that they'll come to their senses, but it's not never going to happen, because again, it's the it is not legitimate. It is not a legitimate thing. It is a thing that is designed to protect the already powerful people who are not a threat to the Microsofts of the world, who are not going to be, looking into Bill Gates and his insane vaccine stuff and whatever. Bill Gates wants us eating bugs now. What was the latest thing he's got us doing? He wants to eat bugs. The guy who loves he's been eating steak for 60 years, and he's going to tell us that we're all going to be bug eaters.
Yeah, you need Beyond Meat.
Yeah, we need that. We got to get off of cows, man. We got to get off of cows.
Stash meat.
Seriously.
In your freezer.
Yeah, buy up farmland. Seriously.
I got to see if I can pull up the latest Bill Gates bug eating. But it's why should that guy have any control over what young people do?
Well, not one guy or girl or anybody, not one. That's the whole point of America, right? Not one person or one small group of people should control all the information out there.
Yeah, it's so hard. That's what it's come to, essentially.
Yeah.
This is a small group of elites.
Bill Gates wants 100% synthetic beef. That's what he wants people eating.
Yeah, exactly.
What about, how many steaks has that guy put down?
Yeah,
At fancy places.
And it's funny, I did a little documentary thing in Baltimore showing how terrible it was, and they don't have grocery stores, but they had that Bill Gates synthetic meat at the Burger Kings and everything else, but they couldn't get real food at any of the grocery stores because there weren't grocery stores. It's just so weird.
This is even if the Beyond Meat tastes good and it ends up tasting good or whatever down the road, I'm still going to do a few years of eating extra beef simply to spite all these people who are, this is the whole thing that they're doing They're doing this same thing with what they're doing the vaccines now with the mask, and they don't reason with us. They don't give us the full information and say, here are the pros and cons. They just say, be a good subject to Emperor Newsom and the woman I refer to as Dr. Hot Mess, Dr. Walensky, who she's all over the place. If you guys watch her press conference, mm-hmm. she's a total mess, contradicting yeah. herself. She answers questions that aren't even being asked. It's very strange. And we all have to be their subjects. Right. And this is what is happening in the country. And you're seeing some little bright lights on the left. Glenn Greenwald comes to mind, who are starting to get it. They're starting to get that this is even bigger than the liberal versus conservative debates we've had our whole lives and will continue to have. But this is even bigger. This is the oligopoly versus the rest of us.
Yeah. It's like they tell us, like, you need to be living in single unit or like multi-unit homes, and you need to worry about this for climate change, like the people at Google, or it's Tim yeah. Cook at Apple. And then they have sweatshop workers in China who sure. are making the phones with horrible human rights violations. And then you have people cheering them on and wearing T-shirts for them. It's like, how is everyone so disconnected from what's actually going on? I hope that, you know, you're talking about people on the left waking up.
Well, how about the people who are on NBC News, who work for NBC News, who are on the NewsGuard board, and do you think NBC was ever going to investigate the coronavirus when they're part of NBC Comcast Universal that does huge business in China?
Right.
And they're opening the Fast and Furious movie in China, mm-hmm. and they've got Universal theme parks, and they got a new one, brand new one this year in Beijing. And you think they're going to all of a sudden start investigating the Wuhan lab? Of course not.
No.
They're the palace guards for the Wuhan lab.
Right.
They're the defenders and
the news guards of the Wuhan lab.
That's right. That's it. These are the people who are doing the work of the CCP, and yep. we're going to turn over all of our information on Hunter Biden. We trust all of them on every Hunter Biden story that the New York Post or Breitbart puts out. That's going to be censored by big tech. But it's their bogus reporting that clearly benefits the Biden administration or the Communist Party in China. We have to take it as a papal bull. It's not going to happen if we're awake and if we're wisened up. And this is where we got to convert people, got to bring people over, not to agree with us on everything, but just to understand that these people have an agenda. They're pushing narrative, and they're not there to dole out the truth. They are there to protect the corporate oligarchy and the bureaucracy and the Washington swamp that is so gross. How could we go through an economic downturn and see Silicon Valley's booming, Washington, D.C. is booming. The richest counties in the country are all bordering our capital, which is offensive.
Right.
And now what are they doing now? We're having the Bidenflation. They want to push $4, $5, $6, $10 trillion in infrastructure.
Right. Infrastructure.
Yeah. Infrastructure that includes every single thing on the Democrats' wish list. Everything's yeah. infrastructure now. Racial quotas are infrastructure now.
CalFARTS, infrastructure.
Oh, it's big
everything.
Time. Big time. Big time. If you could just put like a jar and like yeah. capture them, that would do it.
No, that would stop
That's
climate change
technology.
For sure.
That would be
so,
it.
Yeah. Breaking. Man. Well, that was a wonderful.
Heavy.
That was a good. No,
next
I like.
Next time, I'm going to bring the Moroccan food. We really needed some Moroccan food in this.
No,
one.
I like these kind of conversations a lot.
We can
for
do
sure.
some. Are we out of time? Because we can do some hair care talk. I mean, I was asking Will for his barber because I'm around here a lot these days. I got a lot of problems here with the. I can't keep this thing in order.
It doesn't look that bad. Well, maybe it's the headphones that are making it look better.
No, but well, yeah, maybe the headphones are
keeping
like,
it in
kind
place.
Of trapping it in place. It's the.
Yeah.
No, it's a struggle.
You
it's
know, it would look better if you grew a full mustache.
You can also just shave it off.
I've done it. Yeah.
We should run a poll. We should run a poll. Should men shave off their head when it starts misbehaving?
Yeah, I'm
yours isn't that
I'm
bad.
Nervous about that.
No, yours is not that bad.
I think it's got potential. I think that's
for
the
sure.
issue. I think it's got potential.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an underutilized talent.
Do you blow dry?
No. Should I be doing that?
Oh, my God.
You can maybe
so,
blow dry.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's how you get volume. You know, you want some volume.
So what's the scene like here down in you guys advertise where you are in ballpark? I mean, because I don't want to mention where you are if you guys are secret.
No.
You got a very, very intimidating
yeah.
security
Let
presence.
Let them think we're in Texas.
Yeah.
When I got out of the car last time I was here.
They know we're in L.A.
Which was last week. I was on the phone and I had not finished tying my tie and I had not finished fastening my belt. And I was on the corner right in front of your building and I was still kind of getting dressed and the security guard came out and he looked a little concerned about what was going on. But but that was good. I felt good about it. And I said, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm being weird here, but it's.
I mean, it's amazing that so many of us run these conservative groups straight out of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
The Daily Wire started out of Los
sure,
Angeles.
Sure, sure, sure.
You guys are here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm very worried about LA.
Oh, and we got Larry Elder, which I know we can't do too much politics here, but Larry was my first boss, and he's. Yeah. I won't tell you. I'm not endorsing, but I'll tell you he's an amazing guy. That is something.
And yeah, I personally think he's an amazing guy too.
Yeah,
it's. I personally think he is really good at everything he does.
On a personal level,
I
might go as far to say is I owe a lot to Larry, and so does a lot of people. A lot of people owe a lot to Larry, and I know who Larry owes everything to. You guys know this.
Dennis Prager.
Yep. Unbelievable. Yeah. Yep. And it's so funny because occasionally when you hear them talk about it on air, you could see how happy Dennis is. Like you could almost see it through the
radio.
It's
like when your child lands a triple-double or something, you know? It's like.
But that's what's so cool, and that's what's so fun about, and then hearing Will's story from the beginning about Andrew, that this is where the world is. In conservative new media, we do have these sort of founding fathers of modern conservative media, and they left such a mark. And I know Rush Limbaugh left such a mark on Andrew, and then Andrew leaves a mark on all these people. And there's this great thing, and you never know who you're going to touch. You never know. Dennis had no idea that Alex Marlowe was walking around listening to all 3 hours of Pragertopia on the Berkeley campus, plotting my way of fighting the left for a career. And then here we are. And that's so cool. Maybe there's someone like that we're watching today who's going to be.
Yeah. Dennis gave me an amazing piece of advice. This was about a year ago. We were going to an event in Rancho Santa Fe. Is that where it was? Mm-hmm. Someone like that? Someone like that. We were on the plane, and then I had to give a speech the next day. I had to fly out also the next morning to go give a speech, I think in Minnesota or something. And I was preparing some notes, and he said, you know, treat every single speech like it's the most important speech of your life. And that was really big for me, because it's kind of like we are talking about right now, where it's like, yeah, there might be 20 people in a room. Maybe there's 20,000 people in an auditorium coming to speak. I've done both large and very small events, and you never know what person is going to wake up and change their mind just because you said something that really resonates with them. That's what happened with me, that it was just small things that I heard from random people, chain reactions that made me into who I am today. It's like, you can be that person viewer watching. If you don't know who you're going to touch or who you're going to impact. They could be the next, you know, Rush Limbaugh, whoever.
Well, since we're on the subject of great advice from Dennis, I'll share my favorite advice from Dennis, which is don't get insults get to your head and don't get compliments get to your head. And I think that is such an amazing one, especially in the line of work that we do. We experience lots and lots of insults.
Yes.
And so it really helps kind of balance you. But Dennis is amazing like that. No matter how famous he becomes, he's just the same human being, same goofy guy that you can just bribe with peanut M&Ms and, you know, eat Cheesecake Factory and all that. So
it's so funny. I love that about him. You say Cheesecake Factory because I saw him once in a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
And I think I'd only met him one time, and he had a very bizarre order, which I won't humiliate everyone.
Gefilte fish.
It's like Diet Coke with 15 lemons or something.
I can't even say because I don't want him to get roasted. I don't want to speak out of turn, but it was bizarre. And but I just talked to him and Alan, who were sitting on the same side of the booth for whatever reason. I have no clue what that was about.
They were probably editing like a script.
I have no clue what that was about. Yeah. we'll go with that. We'll go if they were editing a script.
And, that's what they call it.
And he just talked to me for like a half an hour. And it was meaning he listened to me for half an hour, because that's how what he's like when you're with him, is that he wants to listen, and then he talks on the radio. And I feel like I'm like that a lot, because I talk on the radio in the morning, and then I don't want to be the entertainment the rest of the day unless I'm supposed to be. I kind of just want to take input from people, hear what the people are thinking. Dennis is like that. Larry's like that too. Larry's an unbelievable listener if you talk to him in person. And that's just, it's just an interesting quality that I think a lot of the greats have, is they don't, you can turn it on. The guys can really turn it on. When they've turned it off, they're taking in input that's informing them constantly. And I think that's why they're so good. And then now look where Dennis is now. He's on the cover of Otto's Tales. It's unbelievable.
There's a cartoon about Dennis Prager.
Yeah.
Which I read to my 3-year-old last week. It's good stuff. Yep.
Thank you. That
Otto's a winner. That Otto. He's got a future.
Yeah.
We need more Autos.
We do.
Definitely.
Yeah. If any of you guys have Bulldogs, please rename them Otto so we can have more Autos in the world.
There was a former Otto Bulldog in my life. He's long since gone. Maybe he's been reincarnated at Dennis's house.
Yeah, probably. If your old Otto would just sit and watch Dennis smoke cigars all day. I mean, that's, you know, that's about what the Otto now does at the fireside chat. So, well, That was a good conversation, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Remember, you can go to prageru.com/newsguard so you can check out the full email chain between Marissa and the other people at NewsGuard who are having this email correspondence. You can make sure that you go to breitbart.com and check out all the news, everything they're doing. Like I said, my favorite news source for sure. Check out Alex Marlow's book, Breaking the News. You can get it on Amazon or anywhere else major books are sold. And Alex, anything else that you would like to add as a final message for everyone?
No, I think I said my piece. But NewsGuard, it's bad. It's bad stuff. And I just one more final appeal for people to get involved any way you can. Encourage your friends and family too. It's the, and I got this from Dennis, that I feel like the you're going to influence you watching or listening. You're going to influence more people in your life than people like me or Will are or Marissa who are out there public. Because it really is, you guys will synthesize the information and you'll articulate it best to your friends and family. So it's the, you will convert people just by, and it doesn't have to be in a rush. It doesn't have to be over one long heated discussion at dinner. It could be over many years, but you start gradually introducing some of the ideas that we're talking about over a long period of time. And it will be you guys who influence your friends and neighbors. We're giving you the tools. We're trying to give you arguments that you can use. But it doesn't stop in your head. You have to go out and externalize it or else it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, join us. I mean, we're not that special. We can't do it alone. We need your help.
Well, Will's special.
Will is special, not me.
Yeah, that's what my mom always said.
Yeah.
It was very special.
It works.
Unique.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for watching. And we will see you guys tomorrow with Amala Beck. See ya.